I have to record this one. It didn't work this morning, and my mom listens. So when I tell a joke, if you just go ahead and laugh, my mom, she appreciates that. But my dad, for some reason, he learned a little German along the way, and he was always kind of proud of it. So he knew the sign of the cross in German until the day he died. Nomen der Frades und der Sohnes und der Heilige Geistes. And he knew little things like V. Gates, which is their way of saying, how are you? And nine, of course, is the German word for none, things like that, or for no, right? 9-9. And then he would tell this joke about this German tourist who came to the United States, who was traveling around enjoying American culture, and then he got to a place he was going to have breakfast. And a lady standing next to the cash register, she is tired, she's hot, she looks sweaty, and she's just like, can I help you? And this German, he says, Wie geht's? So she turns back to the cook, she says, pancakes! And he's like, 9-9. She said, shut up, you get three like the rest of them. Which as a kid, I never got it because I didn't understand the German. But what makes it funny is it's a misunderstanding. And well, we've all experienced that as a pretty universal experience. And it's what also makes it work is that humor is a means to an end. I mean, it changes the way we receive. It just disposes a person. It's like the sun. I mean, if you've lived through our January, which is pretty gloomy, a lot of clouds, and all of a sudden you see the sun, it does something to us. And so does humor. That's the reason. Because if you listen to the first reading, Job is pretty gloomy. And nobody had a harder life than Job. You don't know his story. When you go through suffering, you'll read it. And it'll help you not to give up. Job is saying that my life is drudgery. I feel this restlessness. I don't find any purpose. There's nothing for me to look forward to. I'd rather just give up. And so then Paul comes along, and Jesus too, that we're supposed to be all things to all people. We're supposed to proclaim that life is worth living, that the gospel is good news. And it was then, and it is now. And then this isn't just their task, but it's yours and mine, but mostly yours. You're out in the world more than I am. And anyway, it's Jesus said, go and make of all disciples. So we're supposed to go and share our faith in a way that is contagious. I mean, what makes a parish grow is parishioners that are really engaged in their faith and they're really engaging. They reach out to others. This is what happens here at Holy Name, is that you are bringing Christ to a world that needs him. They don't even know it, but even so, how can we do that in a more effective way? Huh? How can each of us be a good witness so that to be all things to all people? Well, there are these five love languages, and these are talks they give for married couples, and I don't understand all of it, but I thought, well, this is something, and we don't each have the same way of communicating love. We each have our strengths and weaknesses. So there's compliments, and then there's a quality time, and there's gifts, service, and touch. We'll go through these and you'll find out which one of these do I do well that it becomes like a magnet. It draws people to Christ, to the church, to live their faith. The first is compliments, that seeing the good, building people up. I mean, this is something that a lot of us have a low self-worth. We lack confidence. So when people see the good in us, we'll live up to that. When people say, hey, you can do it, it really makes an impact. I have a spiritual director. I tell him how hard it is, and he said, no, you shouldn't ask the bishop to move you from Wausau. You should go back. And he's a very encouraging guy, and that's one of his gifts. It's not one of mine. Many times I miss opportunities to point out the good in people around me. But if we pray more, we'll see Jesus in the people around us, and we'll start to build up the body of Christ. It really makes a difference when the right person says the right thing at the right time. We had some resistance trying to open the school and so forth, but there were people like that that helped me to keep going, to trust that this was God's work, to be complimentary, to see the good in each other. The next one is quality time, which is something we could all do, right? There are a lot of people that they would just appreciate a visit, a call, a note in the mail, you know, anything like that, that we all have people that we could reach out to, that we could spend time with. And it really makes an impact. If you've ever been in the hospital, had somebody visit, or you ever been as sick and somebody takes the time, it really makes a huge difference. Somebody else has got a phone too. This is recording. I'm not checking. Oh yeah, it's the over-under on the game for the Super Bowl. You know what? So the idea is that to spend quality time. I call my mom every week. I have a duty to call her, but you know, sometimes I'll multitask. I'll just look at my emails while I'm talking to mom, and I catch myself doing it. Don't tell her. But anyway, it's wrong. I mean, quality time means being really present. Like, you're the most important person in my life right now. We're always busy. We always have stuff on our mind. But you know when someone really cares about you because they're listening. They're interested in you. We know that because it's such a beautiful gift to us. Speaking of my mom, you know, gifts, that's another way. When I go home to visit mom, there's always a jar of applesauce in the fridge. She makes the best applesauce in the world, and she does that because I'm her favorite child. And anyway, but that's a love language. It says that you're really important. People drop food off all the time at the rectory because they know I'm hopeless in the kitchen. And even people from St. Matthew's once in a while will drop food off, but when they do, I have the secretaries eat it first. If they don't die, then I'll, make sure that it's safe kind of thing. But what do you do for others, that gifts that people give? I mean, a lot of ways of doing this, right? There was a lady, she knit all these, you know, caps and mittens and scarves, which was saying, I love these kids and their families. I'm going to give them something that it means more than just a material object. We have a rosary group that makes rosaries for people they'll never meet. But what gifts do we give? Do we do little things that lift other people's spirits? The best gift is a smile, by the way, is a kind word. But service is the next. And this is probably my love language. We were raised on a farm, and so we were taught that work hard, do your best. And you can tell people that really do. It makes a difference. The lady that cleans the house, I mean, she cleans that thing. She does it because she loves the parish, and I think she sees the good in me, and it makes a difference. I mean, the way you do your job says a lot about who you're doing it for the people or for God. You know, the folks that did the school, Bozen, the general contractor, the elevator shaft, they wanted the bricks to be just right, and to match that was not easy. They wanted to make sure that the original and the new part, you couldn't tell the difference. And they weren't happy with the bricks, so they hired a team from Green Bay to come over and paint every brick so that they would have a perfect match. We got their best. I know that. I mean, they really gave their best effort. That's a way of saying you're important. The way you work and how you do it and for whom you do it is a way of saying, I love you. Let's come to the end here. Now, the last one is touch. And sometimes people need a hug. They need a handshake. Jesus healed people by touching them. One person at a time. Physically, he touches. And I was at the hospital, and a guy was dying. And after the doctor made his consult, and I was with the brother of the man dying and his wife. And we gave this man the last rites. He's older. And then I had some words with the brother and his wife, and then I left. And I was visiting other people, and then I realized I was missing my hat, which when it's cold, I notice my hat as soon as I go outside. I don't know what happened here. That happened when I got to Wausau. But anyway, I went back to get my hat, and he didn't hear me come in, but the brother had rolled his wheelchair up by the hospital bed, and he was holding his brother's hand. He was praying with him and telling him that he loved him and he was going to miss him. Touch is such a beautiful gift. And sometimes we need someone to touch us in a way that says, I know, I understand, I see, and I'm with you. I'm going to stay with you through it all. Languages of love that can bring people to the gospel. You know, to be all things to all people. How are we supposed to do that? Just get close to the Lord. He knows who you are. St. Catherine of Siena, she said that if you become what God wanted you to be, you'll bring fire to the earth. All you have to do is be the person God made you to be. And you can't do it on your own. You're going to need help from God, but he is very generous. He's very patient. He knows how to help us to be the best version of ourselves. And we don't have to hide that we're limited. We don't have to hide that we're imperfect. Somebody sent me a little link to this show called America's Got Talent. And I think this was about a year ago, this girl was on the show with a significant speech impediment. She's a teenage girl, maybe 14 or 15, and she could barely get her words out. And you could feel everybody in the audience, they were pulling for her. They felt really nervous for her. And she said that even though I struggle to communicate, when I sing it, I don't struggle at all. And then she sang this song that she had written about how she wished at times to be done with her struggle, to be done with this limitation, but realized later that it was a blessing in her life. It made her a better person. By the end of the song, I mean, everybody's been moved by this sincere witness. You see, the gospel is communicated one person at a time. Of course, she was given a round of applause and she got advanced to the next round. I don't know how it ever ended, but that's how the gospel is passed on. I'll end with this. We had a priest when I was in the seminary, Father Joe Henschy. He died a couple years ago. Wonderful priest, very holy guy, very learned man. I think he had 2 PhDs, and he'd work really hard on his homilies, write them all out, well-researched. These things were, I mean, they were just genius. And we were always, you know, of course, edified by it. But for all the value of that homily he'd give from the pulpit, once in a while he'd set his text aside and speak from the heart. And those are the ones that we remember best. Heart speaks to heart. One life affects another life. One person close to Jesus brings light and hope and healing. That's why you're here. Someone did that for you. It's our turn to do that for others.